When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Okay, this is like, honestly, attempt 10. It must be attempt 10 of doing this intro because I hate doing them. Which begs the question, why do I do them? Because sometimes I do the podcast without an intro and nobody ever says that's a shame we didn't do the intro. So why am I doing this? Anyway, this is the live one. It's with Rag & Bone Man. He was an amazing guest. We talk about Westwood. We talk about his love of hip-hop. We talk about the fact that 90% of his fans don't know that he's got a hip-hop background. If you've heard the Jam Baxter album and Dirty Dykes album, then you'll know he's got skills. And he came out after the interval and performed with the Rum Committee. So it's a great ep. He was a great guest. I don't know what to do about the fact that people are turning up still to these live recordings thinking it's a stand-up night. I don't know how much clearer to make it. Like, we put it on the thing, it says it's a live version of the podcast, it's part of the podcast festival. But it's weird. It's weird when you see somebody who's been expecting a stand-up night, then watch some hip-hop. I don't know. Anyway, thanks to Martin T. Smooth for being our resident DJ. It was a great night, and we're going to do more of them. So, you know, come and check it out. All right, have a good one. Enjoy. Bye-bye.
This is the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, because it's time for the podcast.
Right about now, I need everybody to get up off of their seats right now for 5 seconds, please. Everybody, get up off of your seats. The show is about to start. Everybody, get up, get up, get up, get up. Right about now, I need to introduce you to the host with the most, the lyrical killer from Crawley, the Asian sensation. He goes by the name of Ramesh Ranganathan from Brighton. Give it up!
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Ramesh Ranganathan. To
the OV. I used to move snowflakes by the OZ. I guess even back then you can call me CEO of the ROC. Ho, fresh out the frying pan into the fire.
Yes, 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 yes. Hello, take a seat, ladies and gentlemen. How's it going? How are we doing? We good? Oh my God.
That was the wrong one this time, my bad. I got my family fortunes.
Ladies and gentlemen, can you please get up for our Hip Hop Saved My Life's resident DJ, Martin T. Smooth. Thank you so much for coming out, man. We had to move venues because we're doing so fucking well. Absolutely smashing it. And then I see this shit. So... so obviously that's bollocks. Who here is an actual hip-hop fan? Yeah. Cool, is it?
Hip-hop, innit?
I know, but I didn't know you were going to do that. It's terrifying. Is anybody not a hip-hop fan? Yeah. Okay, cool. You are about to have the shittest night ever. it's weird, actually, because it's... every now and again, we've done a few of these live Hip-Hop Saved My Lives, and... every time we've done it, I get a message from somebody saying that they came to see the show and they're very disappointed that it wasn't just stand-up. And then I have to say, I'm really sorry for us delivering what was advertised. And I apologise that you're a fucking idiot. I mean, I don't know... what else to say? But it'll still be a laugh. It'll be good. It'll be good. You're going to have a great time. We're going to have a chat with Rag & Bone Man. And then we're gonna have a, so we're going to do that. We're going to have the chat. Then we're going to have a little interval. Then Rag and Bone Man and the Rum Committee are going to do a little performance for you. And then we go home. Well, you don't have to go home, but you do have to leave. Pardon? Come into the pub. Not with you, mate. Absolutely not. Was that a genuine invite? Pardon? No. Happy to watch a brown man on stage, not to have him at the pub with you. Is that right? I get it. I know what it's like in Brighton. Do you know what I mean? It's all in principle, but not in my backyard. I get it. But listen, we are very grateful to you for coming out. And I need to introduce my partner on the podcast. He contributes breathtakingly little to what we do. Please, could you go wild? Go crazy. For Roomage!
If you're talking the hardest, gigs better pop up in your thoughts as an artist.
Cheese!
Taunt in the market. Everybody wants to know where Walk in the Park is. Walk in the Park.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Roomage.
Bit of fun.
How are you?
I'm good.
So who listens to the podcast? And did everyone know that... No, I didn't say who doesn't, you fuckface.
There's an empty front row there.
Yeah, I know. I'll have you sit here and I'll just fucking abuse... Anyway, the point is, if you listen to the podcast, did you know that Roomage looks like this? No. It's amazing, isn't it, when someone's appearance is like a punchline.
Thank you.
Did anyone think he was Asian? Yeah. Yeah.
Martin saying that and I've met him about 10 times.
I still can't believe it.
How are you?
I'm good. It's nice to be in Brighton.
Is that your attempt to ingratiate yourself with the crowd?
I think I got two of them on side.
Yeah, yeah. How's life treating you?
It's all right. I'm just having a bit of a battle at the moment.
Okay, go on. What?
We've had our planning permission turned down.
For
an extension on our new flat. Oh, wow.
Okay, so you've got a new flat?
We got a new flat.
How long have you been in the flat
out for? About since September.
Okay. I didn't know that. And then what are you having? What's the extent? What is it? Talk me through the extension.
We're just going to try and put a third bedroom in at the back.
Okay.
Yeah. And
this is so fucking grimy. What a grimy story.
I thought you could help me. Or we could use
so
the podcast.
So, planning permission.
Through Hackney Council.
Through Hackney Council.
Yeah.
Right.
Denied.
And then why are they denied it?
Well, it turns out the back of the house was illegally built. 15 years ago.
Okay, but that's not your problem, is it?
No, but I don't know. If there's anyone out there who can help.
Well, how can they
I don't
help?
Know. Well, how, not well, just
how
in this
they
room.
Possibly, no, but how can it be helped? You have to move.
Well, they might be. No, I think we could take this to court.
It's over, right, for him, for this extension? Yeah, it's done. You've got to move.
I'm not accepting it. I'm going to contest it.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, mate. Fuck Hackney Council. What an insane thing to get passionate about.
It's
always fucking Hackney, bruv.
He's been through it.
Oh, mate, I can imagine they fuck you off down here on the south coast. It must be a nightmare.
That's why he moved here.
Yeah. By the way, Brighton, listen, I'm from Crawley, right? They're Crawley people. There's Crawley people, and I take it. Brighton, get over yourselves. You think you're so fucking great. Shit.
What were you saying backstage? It's like the Camden.
I didn't say that. Somebody backstage described it as Camden on sea.
That was Jamie, our editor, to give him full credit.
It's nice. No, Brighton's nice. It's nice. I like it. I do like it. I just think you think it's better than it is. As if that beach isn't what it is. Do you know what I mean? As if that beach isn't one of the most inhospitable environments I've ever had the fucking misfortune to step foot on in my life. You need to put bulletproof fucking flip-flops on to survive. These people are proud of themselves for the beach. Christ. Pardon? Crawley Beach.
Too soon,
yeah, mate. But the difference is, mate, we're not pretending there's a beach there, okay? You've just got a fucking end of your town and you're calling it a beach. We've got sand in Crawley. It's just, we just throw it at people coming out of Wetherspoons, all right? It's different. Okay, we should get our guest out, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
But first of all, before we do... Oh, actually, let's get our guest out, first of all, and then we're going to see what Martin's got sound... Actually, let's see what you've got sound effect was. What have you brought today?
I've got a new set of sound effects for you, man. You know, like I like to freshen it up each time.
Yeah.
Got Westwood.
Understand that!
Topical.
That's good. If ever you want just to order a bell end.
And seeing as we're in Brighton...
Take it down south!
Got a catchphrase one.
You're really into your game shows today.
Hold on, what have you got... Family fortunes and catchphrase.
I've been watching a lot of daytime television recently, right. So, you know, why not?
Okay, what else you got?
Got the air horn.
It's a classic. These people here are fucking loving it.
And you know what? I had a, in case of an emergency, in case there weren't no crowd.
Isn't that one of the most damning indictments of a show you've ever heard? Where... somebody involved has brought crowd noise with them.
It's still going as well.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, there it is. And I got the usual smash.
Okay.
And we heard the family fortune.
Great.
You don't sound impressed.
I just don't know why you've gone so heavy on the game shows. Does anybody here watch Catchphrase? Okay, you're about
there
to...
There we go.
You're going to have a great night. Okay. Listen, it is. We have tried to do a podcast with this man for a while, but it's been difficult because everyone's busy. But we are absolutely. It's an honour for us to have a genuine star, mega star, come and do this podcast, right? The podcast is not good enough for this man, basically.
I agree.
And for some reason, he's agreed to do it. So, can you please go wild and crazy for Rag and Bone Man?
Now tell me who wanna fuck with us. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. I bang and let your fucking brains hang. Snitches, fuck all of them.
Did anyone give you a mic?
No.
Oh, fuck
it. He needs a mic.
Jesus fucking
yours,
hell.
Thanks.
It's already fucked up, this.
It's not even done up properly.
Now Martin hasn't got a mic.
We're getting him one.
Should we do that intro again?
No.
No, let's not. So what do we call you?
Rory.
Rory, okay.
I was going to call you Un.
Why? Of the three
As
words,
rag,
why
would un, you...
Yeah,
bang,
yeah, I know, but why choose that one?
Just for a giggle.
How are you, mate?
I'm all right, very well, thank you.
Yeah? It's an honour to have you on the podcast.
It's an honour to be here. I listen to all of your podcasts.
Thank
and
you.
And I'm a fan. So
do you have a least favourite episode?
I think they're all quite good.
How about...
Just genuinely.
Did you hear the one with my mum where we just talked about a woman that had sex with a lobster? I don't know if you caught that one.
I actually haven't seen that one.
No, that's quite the highlight.
I'll be sure to check it
yeah,
out.
Yeah, you must check that out. If anybody is interested in a Sri Lankan illegal immigrant's views on lobster fucking, it's well worth...
Did she bring it's that well up worth or did a you spin. Bring it up?
Well, we were talking about this. I brought it up because, you know, it's stuff to chat about with your mum. Now, you brought with you today an incredible gift.
Yeah.
He knows what it is.
Somebody had an orgasm in the crowd for me. You brought me a present, didn't you?
I did bring you a present, yeah.
And the present is basically, it's a load of hip-hop albums. It's a book. It's a Marvel book.
Yeah.
With loads of hip-hop covers, album covers, reimagined with Marvel stars in, right?
Yeah.
So they've got Adventures of Slick Rick, but with Gwen, with Spider-Girl, and then they've got, I think there's a big pun one with... So basically, it's loads of hip-hop album covers recreated.
Yeah,
it's amazing. So
I
thank
saw
you
it,
for
and it looked cool as fuck, so I thought you might like it.
Yeah. And I'm a comic book fan. Are you a comic book fan?
Yeah, a little bit.
Are you excited about the new Avengers film?
Not really.
Okay.
I've not seen it.
You've not seen. It's not come out yet.
I will. I've not seen the one before. Is there one before?
There is one before, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you seen Venom yet?
I've seen Venom, yeah. What did you think?
I thought it was fucking shit.
Yeah.
Really shit.
Venom. What, has anyone here seen Venom? What did you think? Shit, okay. I just, it's a lot of it is Tom Hardy. Well, a lot of it's Tom Hardy, obviously, he's in the film, but he doesn't become Venom until far too late in the movie for me. It's just a lot of tentacles shooting out of his back. Have you seen it?
No. What is his superpower?
What is his superpower? It's this, basically this alien symbiote that takes him over, and then every now and again it sort of covers his body completely, and then he sort of becomes this sort of... Oh, I can't be asked to explain it. Just Google it, mate. Now, I don't know how much you want to talk about this, but don't worry, this is not like a Paxman-style stitch-up. But I know you've got an opinion, but you might say no comment on this.
Okay.
Westwood and Rodney P.
Hey, Westwood's a dickhead.
Exclusive.
You can go fuck himself.
So, do you know what? I said to Rupert, I know that he's
Westwood
got...
Westwood don't want beef.
Take it down south!
You saw the interview though, right?
I saw the interview. Has anybody seen this thing with Westwood and Rodney P? Yeah. Okay, so Rodney P, obviously a legend in UK hip hop. Westwood was in an interview with Giggs, right?
Yeah.
And then what exactly? So Giggs was talking about how much he likes Rodney P.
They were talking about the kind of influence on UK hip hop as such, on his sound and people's sounds, and you know, he said. Basically, Westwood said a lot of UK hip hop was trash.
Yeah,
and then, which is a fucking statement by itself, and then basically said that Rodney P was shit as well.
Yeah,
and I was like, it's one thing to say UK hip hop's rubbish, but then call the godfather of UK hip hop shit too. Like,
it's dickhead. Well, what was really good about that, and it's well worth checking it out, because Westwood sort of drops a cuss on Rodney P. He's like, I always thought he had a plum in his mouth.
Yeah.
And then waits for a laugh that doesn't fucking arrive. It's good.
Where is Westwood from? Isn't he from like Southampton? Or
Bishop Stortford.
Yeah.
Is he really?
I think so, yeah.
No, he's a son of a bishop.
Yeah, yeah, he's a son. The Bishop of Stortford. He's 62, is that right?
Yeah, he's 62. And then Rodney P went on Charlie Sloss' show.
Yeah.
Like, shots fired at Westwood, called him a vulture.
He did.
Also suggested...
He's a bit of a nonce,
This is all allegedly, that
allegedly.
Rodney P suggested that... and by the way, you guys have arrived at just the right time.
It's only been about 10 minutes, so we're already frying nonsense.
And by the way, can we just say, a special guest tonight, Tim Westwood's family are joining us.
Hey, Bishop.
All the way from Bishop Stortford.
Can I call you Bish?
The Duke and Duchess of Bishop Stortford.
Basically, then all these videos came out of Westwood, who is what? How old is he now?
62.
103.
Do you know what? You are fucking gemmed up on Westwood facts. You know that? And just loads of videos of him daggering. Do you know, guys know what daggering is? No.
Do you want me to?
God, you show.
Do you want some music for it?
Huh? Yeah. Give me some.
You have to do it on me.
So it's like, I'll do it on you. Yeah, you bend over. So imagine. Hold on.
Brighton Town, baby.
Genuinely hurts. What you got down there?
I'm going to be honest with you. I fucking smashed myself on the first dagger. It's actually harder than it looks. Not my cock. actually daggering. I didn't realise how physically... Was that upsetting for you? Was that...
He couldn't get the full
vision.
I didn't
expect to see that this evening. So yeah, I'm going to go do the Romesh podcast.
Well, I definitely 100% should have just done it to the chair. Thanks for applauding that. Yeah, you should have, mate. Because that was fucking awful.
I like that we're both out of breath.
Fuck. Dagger. Why are you out of breath, man?
I don't know, just bending down a bit.
Okay, anyway, sorry about that, Rory. So I guess what we're saying is, fuck Westwood.
Fuck Westwood.
Does anyone like Westwood? Okay, sweet. I thought this was a controversial thing, though. I thought Westwood's like respected for like... for doing things for hip-hop in this country.
Well, I thought he was until he said that.
Yeah. He's sort of like, I think he's so so desperate to sort of remain current that he thinks that by, like, that's why he's jumped on the grime thing and he's insulting hip-hop.
Also,
maybe.
Where do you think he got the voice from?
I know. It's not, Rupert will know. It's a bit weird, where did he get it from? It's fucking weird, isn't it? Bang those cell block doors. My man's in Devon. Anyway, so listen, it's great to have you on, man.
Thank you.
Now, the thing for you is, you're a massive hip-hop head, and your background is hip-hop, right?
Yeah.
And but people, you've now got in this situation now where I imagine you've got like, have you got like two audiences now? Or what? I mean, are you conscious of the fact that, because there's people, cause you obviously become, you blew up big, massive, right?
Yeah.
And so now you've got people. Are there people that know your sort of your singing and don't know what your background is? Or
honestly, I'd say 90% of the people don't know what the background is.
Right.
Some of them like the fact that they can see that in the music I've been doing recently or whatever. And then other people are like, oh my God, I can't believe you make rap music.
And is that a thing where like, are you trying to get the fans that don't know about that? Are you trying to get them into the other side of what you do as well?
It's not really that. It's more I just want to make what music I want to make and when I want to make it. Do you know what I mean? It's just about freedom of doing what you want.
And are you ever conscious of... you don't ever worry about it? You just say, I'm just going to make exactly what I want to make? And
no, because I made a tune recently with Dyke and it says cunt in it twice.
Yeah,
and I thought my record label might be a bit funny about it, but they weren't. They didn't mind. So, you know, Sony Music don't mind cunt.
So many exclusives.
I'm gonna have to say cunt, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And by the way, thanks for checking.
It's all right.
So tell us about your, how did it start with like, because you obviously came up with the Rum Committee, right?
Yeah, I moved here in probably 2008, 2009, and I wanted to start making music. I met a few people, Gizmo, DJ Direct, and a few of the others, and they'd kind of already had something going on. They made a few tunes, and they sent it to me. I started recording my hooks on them and stuff, and that's how kind of Rum Committee was born.
And then how did it come to be that you were with the Rum Committee and then suddenly you got this sort of solo deal?
It kind of went through a gig that I did in 2012 at the Brighton Dome. And basically I was doing this gig supporting quite a successful artist. And it was my first like proper solo thing, just sitting there with a guitar and playing my songs. And I didn't have any music out at all.
Right.
So I basically made like a small EP called Blues Town. And then... just for that gig, really. And it actually did quite well.
Yeah.
And then from that, I ended up signing to High Focus.
Right, okay. See, with High Focus, everybody, High Focus fans in? Yeah, I thought there would be. And then what happened then?
Basically, I went to a house party around Bozak's yard. And I met Bozak and Dyke through Leaf Dog and started making tunes with Leaf. And then we came out of an EP called Dog and Bone. That was about 2000.
Look at that.
There was about two cheers there.
Guys, if you're not sure that lots of people are going to cheer, just don't do it. Because it's actually worse than if no one does it. Okay, so just think about what you're doing, okay? Because we're up here bearing our fucking souls. All right? Sorry, go on, mate.
We basically put out this EP, me and Leaf. It was like, it wasn't really songwriting as such, but I was just singing over beats.
Right.
And people kind of liked that too, and it just kind of took it up a level and started to get a bit of a fan base and do festivals and gigs and support slots and all that kind of stuff. Did one more project with High Focus, which was the day Dyke put that Soul on me EP. And then from there, I was like, kind of like a little bit bored of just writing over hip-hop beats.
Right.
And I wanted to kind of explore songwriting from the bottom, kind of like writing it on a piano and then producing around it and stuff. So I went and made Wolves, which is like the first kind of project I saw as like, not as, as a solo artist, but on my own writing songs.
Right. And what you're making new stuff at the moment, right?
Yeah.
And what will that be like? Can you give us any sort of...
I've been listening to a lot of like old root stuff and new stuff like Anderson .Paak and Kendrick Lamar and stuff. And I've been kind of going down that kind of organic hip-hop route with a lot of like brass and synths and old school sounds and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's kind of going in that direction at the moment.
With Anderson .Paak, because Anderson .Paak's obviously incredible, he did this album Oxnard, which came out, what, last year, was it?
Yeah.
So that album was like very hip-hop influence, right? And a lot of people, I wasn't aware of this until I read it, but he got a lot of criticism for that album. I think that record's amazing, but...
I think it's pretty good, but yeah, other people don't like it. It's weird.
And then he's gone back now. Have you heard this Ventura, this new one?
Is that the one with...
It's got Smokey Robinson.
Smokey Robinson.
Yeah.
It's smooth as fuck, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But it was weird, because I thought Oxnard was like, it showed like a lot of versatility, and then, I don't know, I didn't realise. In fact, he got so much criticism that his mum responded.
For real?
Yeah. His mum was just like, what the fuck are you saying about my boy?
Has your mum ever defended you like that?
No, she's more like, I think I'm funnier. Do you know what I mean? That's what I get from my mum. Maybe I should do the stand-up. Martin, did you check out Oxnard?
Yeah, and but I prefer Malibu, his first album.
Yeah, well, pricks say that, don't they?
I've been there since the beginning.
Do you know what? Actually, there's Anderson .Paak did a recording just in his bedroom, and only about six people have got it, and that's the one I like.
You asked me what I like.
Fuck you, Martin. No, I'm joking. Malibu is good. I actually agree with you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So how did you, Rory, first get into hip-hop?
Well, when you sent me the questions, I was trying to think about...
This is a spontaneous interview.
I've dug myself a hole now, haven't I? I was trying to think about...
Send you any questions.
No, they didn't.
No, definitely.
Do you want a second to think about it?
Here's a little pitch that you like to pull. Oh. How did you get into hip hop?
It was my dad, basically. So.
You know, you could have just said that straight away.
I know. Sorry.
Okay, it's your dad. So, what was going on with your dad?
So, my dad's not really a hip hop head.
Right.
But, I don't know, did you ever have, like, family that. You know, like an uncle or whatever, that when you went in the house, they like shook your hand and they gave you one of them like knuckle squeezing handshakes.
Sounds like a weird uncle to me.
Well, my dad basically, like, he used to give me that really horrible, like, hard squeezing knuckle handshake. And he used to step on my foot and try and push me over. Not in, like, a Joe Jackson beating way, like just in an affectionate way.
Yeah, that sounds affectionate. And
it's the opposite and of friendly.
He used to say, "Don't push me because I'm close to the edge."
Right.
And I didn't realise what it was.
Okay.
And then I heard the actual song and I was like, oh, that's actually a song.
That's how it happened.
Basically, yeah.
That's the best answer we've had to that question.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Because I just thought he was trying to be funny, which he was.
Yeah.
But I didn't know.
Well, how I got into hip hop was my dad used to run a pub. And he put on like an entertainment night, and he got so many complaints about it. He got like nearly 100 complaints. And then my mum came over to speak to him about it, and he got pissed off with her. And he said, "Shanti, I've got 99 problems and a bitch ain't one." And that's...
I was genuinely
about halfway through, I nearly believed you.
Where the fuck that was going?
I got to be honest, midway through that, I thought, I can't figure out a route through this. This is... I think I might have got myself into some shit now. So you started checking out. So what sort of stuff were you listening to then?
Well, there's a kid up the road, and the first kind of album I heard was the Warren G album, Regulate.
Right.
Because he used to play it, and I'd hear it like coming out of his bedroom window, and I was like, oh, what's that? And he lent me the tape, like a recorded tape version of it. So it was all like West Coast hip hop to start with.
Right.
Yeah, Warren G.
Warren G. I love that album. As you know, I bought 4 copies of it.
On cassette?
On cassette. I bought 4 cassettes of that. 4. Famously, that Warren G song, Warren G album, there's a song in it called What's Next?
Yeah, yeah.
Where Warren G says, "What's next? What's next? What's N-X-E-T?"
Yeah.
And nobody in the studio, or when they heard the master of that album, said, "Warren, can I have a quick word?"
I've never seen him on Countdown.
When I first heard that, I thought, is that like a hip-hop way of spelling next? Nah, it doesn't make any fucking sense. It's a good album, though. And then what did it move on to after that?
Do you remember the Dog Pound album?
Yeah.
Yeah, Daz and Corrupt. I think it had Snoop on one or two of the tracks.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
I loved Corrupt.
Yeah, me too.
He was like the most...
He was a better rapper than most of them, actually, at the time.
Yeah, I thought so, yeah. He was good.
I thought Warren G was kind of rubbish, but the kind of concepts of the tracks and the sound of the beats made up for the whole...
Well, the thing was is that, like, they were all... Warren G, I thought, had a lot of guts in many ways, because he was with the Dog Pound, you know, he's affiliated with all of those guys that did all that hard stuff. And then he would do really sing-songy stuff, like, "You don't see what I see every day as Warren G." And you just think, how did he not get his ass handed to him? Do you know what I mean? Like, Warren, what the fuck was that? First you misspell next, now you're dropping this shit. And then what did it... So did you stay West Coast, or did it sort of progress to other shit?
Got a bit bored of it, and my mate Swanee, actually, he's here tonight. Where's Swanee? Yeah, he got me into, like, loads of other good hip-hop, basically. He introduced me to, like, stuff like Outkast.
Yeah.
And then about that time, I started getting into more, like, New York stuff as well. Pharamunch and really, like, a lot... Do you remember Ill Bill?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got really into Nonfiction and Ill Bill.
So Ill Bill
has
just brought out a new album.
Yeah, I heard, yeah.
Cannibal Hulk.
Yeah.
This fucking album, mate. Ill Bill and Stu Bangers.
He's mad underrated as a rapper, ain't he?
Oh, my God. If you... Honestly, man, this Cannibal Hulk album is unbelievable. It's like my favourite... It's possibly my favourite thing that's come out this year so far. It's amazing. Ill Bill's unbelievable. Stu Bangers, I started following... First of all, Stu Bangers... It does sound like a sausage factory. It does. Have you tried Stew's bangers?
They're right tasty.
He looks like... Have you seen what he looks like?
No.
He's just... He looks like this fucking... Like, he's a white guy, absolutely ripped, looks like his hobby is killing opponents of Donald Trump. Like... And then he's just loads of Instagram things, videos of him just on the MPC, just banging out these incredible beats, man. It's crazy. That album is well worth checking out. That is a Romesh... A recommendation.
Quite a camp one as well.
Pardon?
You went, "That's a Romesh recommendation."
Yeah, I did do quite a good go. It's sort of...
Well, not in that voice, but...
Yeah.
I've killed the room.
That is a, yeah, that's really fucking killed the vibe, mate. Weirdly, more awkward than the daggering, I thought.
Yeah, where you just, that got a lot of laugh.
Yeah, that was... Which you'd have to do, you'd have to go some way to do that, but well done, you managed it. And then what else? Sorry, Rory.
What else? I can't remember the question.
Non-fiction you were talking about.
Non-fiction, yeah, yeah. And then basically, I think at that point, I started to get into UK hip-hop.
Right.
And it was, I don't know, I guess like early 2000s, the first person I heard was Roots Maneuver. And I saw, it was already like 3 or 4 years old at the time, but I had this DVD, and the DVD was like Jules Holland, hip-hop and soul. And right. It had people like Guru and Angie Stone, Jill Scott, Erykah Badu, Fugees, stuff like that. And but there was a version of Roots Maneuver doing Dreamy Days live with like an orchestra.
Right.
And fucking blew my mind. Like him rapping and like, you know, he had that Jamaican style, but
yeah.
Still, you know.
So you like that, you like the blend. That's yeah. kind of what you're drawn
yeah,
to.
Sure.
I went to see Jay-Z at Royal Albert Hall and he had a full orchestra. And is my brother here? No.
He left his house at 8.
I sorted him out a free fucking ticket.
You said he left his house at 8.
Bro, that was worse than the High Focus shout out. That was terrible.
He might be backstage, if that helps.
Well, listen. My brother's a fucking prick. So that's all I wanted to say about it.
Are any of your family here at all?
It's the end of the story. No, my brother, so it was we went to see Jay-Z at Royal Albert Hall, and it was just when Jay-Z and Nas had like squashed their thing. And then Jay-Z brought out Nas as like a surprise thing, and my brother nearly fell off the fucking balcony. He just went, "It's Nas, Rob! I can't believe it!" He sounded like that because he's a fucking arsehole. Anyway. Okay, so that's good. That's you've got a good background in it. Do you listen to hip hop now still?
Yeah, yeah, all the time.
What sort of stuff are you listening to now?
Well, like I said, I'm really into Anderson .Paak and I listen to Kendrick Lamar. I like Reggie Snow a lot, actually. I've been listening to that. Yeah, I really like Reggie Snow.
A sheep likes it, so that's good.
Reggie Sheep.
That's some hip hop thing in Brighton. Every time. Maya. Yeah, Reggie Snow.
I like Reggie Snow a lot. And yeah. I like this crew called Wedding Crashers as well.
Oh, right, I don't know.
They're pretty good.
Yeah. And is there anything about hip hop you don't like?
We got
Sting. Before you say this.
Are you going to play the little bit?
No, even before that. Are you a Drake fan? No. You. Let me just be clear. You cannot answer the question for him. Okay, I asked him if he's a Drake fan. Somebody goes, no, you don't fucking know.
Fears about Drake.
Please don't say no now. No, you can't say no.
I'm fairly fucking nonchalant about it because it's like, you know those people get mad about fucking music that they don't like?
Yeah.
I don't really like those sort of people. And I think it's such a waste of your time.
What, to hate on music?
I don't like that music. You're like, well, if you don't like it, it's not for you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And Drake isn't for me.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm like, I hate this music. It's just not for me. So why would I complain about it?
You wouldn't be one of these pricks who just shouts no at a gig or something.
No, I wouldn't. He's got a few bars that are right, but you know.
Martin, you went to see him, didn't you?
Yeah, I went to see him this week.
Yeah, and you
went to see him as well.
Did you?
Martin says it was the best stage show of any hip-hop act you've ever seen.
He said he cried.
I did not say I cried.
You don't, I remember
Maybe once. But it was production-wise the best hip-hop show I've ever seen.
Yeah, the lights were good in that, weren't they?
And the Ferrari. Is that it? You're not selling it, man. Rory, you're not selling it.
Best bit for me was when they brought out gigs and then I just went back to the bar.
So why was it so good, Martin?
I thought the production, Kanye set the bar for hip-hop shows.
Yeah.
I thought that Drake kind of copied him a little bit. And
you see the flying yellow Ferrari.
So what is this thing? Yeah. There's a flying car in the show.
So he's got a track with Baby called Yes Indeed, and he references yellow Ferraris.
Yeah.
And then when he does that track, he's got a Ferrari, which is a drone, and yeah. it flies over the crowd.
Yeah. Also, a show with a flying car, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
I've not seen that yet.
Yeah.
Well, there's a big surprise, Ramesh. Guys.
Ask me if I like Dick Van Dyke. I fucking hate Dick Van Dyke. He's a dick.
So you think that's the best? Did you see Kendrick when he was in
there? I didn't see it.
Did you see it?
I saw Kendrick.
It was better than the Kendrick show.
Better than Kendrick, better than Watch Your Throne, better than Glow in Dark. Yeah, I think he's the best. He's up there with like U2 and Coldplay now with stage shows, I think. I'm serious.
What? Hold on.
In terms of production, I think he is.
I don't understand what you're knowing about. What do you mean? Why are you saying no? Because he's not up there with U2 and Coldplay. Is that what you're saying? Pardon? It's relative.
I think he meant irrelevant.
Fucking hell, bro. If you're saying one word, just get it right in your head before it comes out. Holy shit. It's irrelative.
It's benevolent.
That could be the name of your new tour show.
That's what I'm calling my brother from now on.
Let's check he's in. Is he in?
Fucking
update.
Fucking irrelative prick. Okay, so what we're going to ask is, we've got a jingle for what do you... hip-hop gripes, yeah? Ready? Go for it.
No rush,
mate. Martin's going to...
We'll sort it out in the edit.
What's happened?
I don't think I have that.
You don't have that. You've got the Family Fortunes wrong answer sound. You haven't got any of the fucking jingles for the podcast.
Oh, no.
You need more. Do you need another drink?
I'll just signal to bring me more alcohol.
Yeah, Rory needs more alcohol, guys.
I'll have another beer as well.
Yeah, if there's one going.
Have you not got it, Martin?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Sorry.
Ramesh, you could do it.
I had to delete it for the Family Fortunes one.
You had to...
Sorry, I was out of space.
You really are a piece of shit, you know that. Fucking flying
yellow.
How much
room does the Family Fortunes thing take up?
Enough, mate, enough.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are your hip-hop gripes? Is there anything you don't like about hip-hop?
I don't like rappers that just rely on the fact that they've got like a good tune out
right.
to come on stage and have no fucking personality yeah. at all. Do you know what I mean? Like, yes. I've seen a lot of rappers where I've been really excited to see them because I love their tunes.
Yeah.
And they come on with this fucking lackluster performance of like, hood that was like, and just relied on the fact that they've got good tunes
yeah.
to do a performance that was really shit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
I and a lot of people feel really fucking lucky to be able to perform music for people. And I don't know, show a bit of enthusiasm. You could be like down the fucking mine or weird reference, but or like tarmac in the road or yeah. working at Lidl. Do you know
Thank
what I mean?
You. It's
like them are the jobs that people don't really want. And you're on stage, you should like give it a little bit of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we should take this opportunity to point out that for many young people in this country, their only choices really are rapping the mines or...
Yeah, yeah.
Or doing a punk.
You can rap down the mines if you want.
That's proper underground, though.
Yeah. Well, come on.
Yeah, I know what you mean, though.
Yeah. Have you ever been to like a show and you've been really excited and it's such a fucking disappointment?
I've talked about this before, but the problem is that like you get so excited and hip hop's much bigger now than it was. I remember I've talked to you about this before, but there was a group, Cannibal Ox, right? Yeah. And they brought out this album and I was so excited to see them live. And it was this little pub in North London because they were that's hardcore fans, like you know, they've not they're really on the way up, sort of thing. And I was so excited to see them. And they just, first of all, there's two of them, only one of them turned up. So immediately, you're only gonna have 50%. You know, I'm doing the mental arithmetic for you there. I used to be a maths teacher. And then he just didn't give a shit. He just came on and just like phoned it in. And I just thought, this is fucking, because at that time it was a lot of money that, you know, a lot of proportion of my disposable income I was paying on this.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just so pissed off. And it's just like, it feels like that's the bit they, I think it's partly that's the bit they seem to enjoy the least, a lot of rappers. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
It's weird.
It's weird. They like put their hood up and they just bring out like a flying car and then sort of shallow arseholes will think that's a show. Do you know what I mean? That's.
Have you ever been to like a Wu-Tang show where some really shit people.
Oh
came?
My God.
It's always you, God.
Yeah. Yeah, or it's somebody related to him. Like, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Ghostface Dilla. And then it'll be Ghostface's cousin who used to drive him around or something like that. Or Master Shoeshine or something like that. They only ever three of them fucking turn up. It's mad. Anyway.
No one wants
any good shows you've been to? Any good hip-hop shows you've been to?
I went to see some local boys recently in Bristol when I was up there. Frankie Stu and Harvey Gunn, they were pretty good.
I find it off-putting, actually.
That was more of a clap than your brother.
Yeah, that's true. Is my brother here yet? Fucking irrelative.
Still.
Anyway, go on, sorry.
I've been going to a few of the Dirty Dyke shows recently, doing the tune that I did on his album, but watching the show and Ronnie Bosch opened up for him. So I've been and checking that out like a couple of times, and that's really sick. So.
I've got to say, man, I didn't realise how great a rapper you were until...
Thanks.
But listen, I honestly, if you've heard on the Jam Baxter album, Mask, your verse on that...
Thanks, man.
...is fucking appreciate unbelievable, it, man. And like, my one of my mates, I was like, he didn't know that you had any sort of... So I said to him, oh, you know he raps as well? And he goes... He just didn't believe me. And then I played that and he goes, fuck. My mate was trying to be, he's trying to be more sort of hip hop. He sort of overcompensated. He's going, fucking hell, dude can spit. And I was like, all right, relax,
is your mate.
We're in Crawley. Huh?
Is your mate Tim Westwood?
Yeah. Ron, bang those cell block doors. I love that geezer. Do you want a dagger again? No, Tim, relax. and is that something you're going to be doing more of?
Yeah, definitely. I'm working on some new stuff with the crew, the Rum Committee guys, and we just did a new tune the other day, and it seems like we're going to be making some more stuff, so hopefully there might be another Rum Committee album coming at some point.
Yeah.
You should do a collab with Rummish. Rum Committee.
That's pretty good.
Dude, it was not worth it.
I thought of that on the train down.
Did
here.
You? Really?
Yeah. I had to say
it. He's been sitting on that for nearly an hour. Just when I tell
I was
you
asleep
what,
for most
when
of the
I,
it's when been itching in your back pocket and he's finally got
when
it.
When I bring the heat with this Rom Committee joke, oh my God, that sheep is going to lose his shit. amazing. So, what would you say your favourite hip-hop album of all time is?
Hey, man, what's your favourite hip-hop album?
He's got that one.
Yeah. I just thought you hadn't brought any of them, but you just brought some of them, have you? Cool.
Sorry.
I know it takes quite a lot of thinking about because there's quite a lot that could be...
Okay.
Give
us a couple,
favorite.
Then.
Tanner Affairs.
Yeah.
Goody Mob, maybe.
Yeah, Goody Mob.
Yeah,
we've not had Goody Mob before.
Yeah, Soul Food's a fucking amazing album.
Yeah.
Some playlist catalog music, but I went for like something. I don't know. I still play on a rigs, and it still like fucking blows my mind how poetic it is and stuff. And some, you know, I don't think there's really a fucking right answer, is there?
No,
it's all subjective. So
there are plenty of wrong answers, eh?
Well, I went for an album by Task Force called Music from the Corner, Volume 1.
Right, so. And what about that album makes it... Pardon?
Yeah, my man.
Cool.
Yeah, Stranger on the Shore.
Is that your brother?
Does that imagine if yes, my brother Robert, sounded Robert. Like that?
Just walked in on that.
I remember the first time I listened to that record. I came to Brighton, I went to... I think it was called Mic Check at the time. It was right. really shit. It used to sell like FUBU Platinum and stuff. It was a really shit like hip hop clothing store.
Yeah.
But it had a few like mixtapes and albums and stuff. And I bought the first Lewis Parker joint, and I bought Music from the Corner Volume 1. And the first time I put it on, I heard Chester's voice. I was like, what the fuck is this? This is amazing. Like, and I'd never heard anybody use, I don't know, rap that poetically before.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It was so thought-provoking to me that, yes, like, I still listen to it on, like, a weekly basis. It's still on my playlist all the time.
It's so weird that, because, like, now, hearing a British accent on hip-hop or whatever is just not a thing. You know, people don't... It's accepted now. But I remember, like, did you find this? Like, I even had friends that were into hip-hop but just couldn't get their heads around a British voice.
Yeah, for real.
It was like... It's just something about it that just... Whereas now, that seems mad, doesn't it? But those guys were... There was just two schools, weren't there? The guys that did American accents and then the guys that did British accents.
Yeah, yeah. But it still kind of excites me now when I listen to it on the radio. If someone comes on the radio and is rapping in a British accent,
yeah,
I still think that's a thing. Like, it's still exciting.
Yeah. I think... I mean, do you think you've got a voice for... Spitting bars? You've got a rap voice? Have you ever rapped...
No.
Okay, that's the end of that chat. Martin.
Yeah?
Have you ever rapped?
No, I'm a DJ.
No, I know, I know. But have you ever rapped?
I'll be really bad at it.
Yeah, I would too, but that didn't stop me.
Go for it.
No, I'm not, fuck off.
Debut from the ROM committee.
No.
I could be a hype man.
No.
This is what we're talking about.
No. No, that ain't gonna fucking happen.
No, fair point.
It's not gonna happen. No, listen. No. Listen. Ranga, the Lazy Eyed Assassin, is retired.
Maybe your brother could be your hype man.
Sorry.
You come off all fucking nice. What a nice bloke. And then fucking shot to the jugular just as we're wrapping this up.
Sorry, mate.
Unbelievable, mate. By the way, two things I wanted to ask you before we wrap up. We're almost out of time here.
Okay.
Rupert. Have you got any questions? I should ask you.
No, you fire.
Okay,
off.
Thank you. Thank you
so much. I like your body language, though.
Pardon?
I like your body language.
It's just, I'm so fucked off about that ROM committee thing. I don't even want to face you right now. You just imagine your dagger in me as I finish this interview. I'm going to be honest, I regret the daggering bit.
Oh, yeah.
I just want that to go on record. Partly because halfway through I thought this isn't as funny or as interesting as I thought it was going to be. Secondly, I don't know if you know, the look on your face when we sat down was so... You looked like you were gutted.
Kind of wish I'd have got like a boomerang of it, though, you know.
Well, the show's not over.
Fuck off, Rupert.
Something to write on your epitaph, isn't it?
You supported Ferro Monch, right?
Yeah, man.
Well, how did that come about and what was that like? Was that with ROM Committee?
Yeah, basically, it was around the time that we released Boozetown. And it wasn't like a really popular album, but it got around a bit. And we managed to get it to some promoters around the area. And a few people came back and said, yeah, do you want to support Slot? So we supported, like... I think like Slum Village and maybe like Lord Furness and then Ferro Monch.
And what is it like supporting those guys? Because obviously to you, like, you know, you're sort of thinking, fuck it, we're going to meet these guys. Are they actually open to chatting to you?
It's quite disappointing, really.
in what way?
Well, because they've never fucking heard of you. You're just some guy from a small place in the UK that's insignificant to them or their career. But...
This is really sad.
Yeah. We did an MF Doom gig once.
Right.
And I tried to say hello. And I just put my hand out like that, man, to be like, yo. And his security guard just stood in front of him and blocked me from getting my hand anywhere near him.
Oh, my God.
Like, all right, cool. Sorry, mate. Nice one.
Fucking
We got paid 40 quid to support you tonight. And a fucking six pack of Red Stripe. I'm never coming to see you again, dickhead.
Wow.
But it was the last really good Rum Committee gig that I did.
Right.
And the boys will probably agree with me that we supported very much at the Concord too. And it was fucking amazing. It was still to this day one of the best gigs I ever did.
Right.
Because the whole of Brighton showed up and went mental for our set,
yeah,
supporting. And like, I'm like shivering talking about it because it was amazing. And Pharaoh's like all of our heroes and supporting him. And he was real safe to us.
So he was nice,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, really, really cool.
Thank God. I love Pharaoh much too much to hear that he was a prick.
Yeah, we've been trying to get him on the podcast, haven't we?
We did try and get him on the podcast, and well, that didn't happen. But fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pharaoh, if you're in the audience, it's more likely than my brother being here. Please come on the podcast. So that was amazing, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Did you talk directly to him?
Yeah, for like a couple minutes. I actually handed him a CD at the time.
Right.
And I'd done a tune that I was like thinking about getting him on. Or asking him to be on it, and
yeah,
he took the CD kind of reluctantly-ish, and never got back to me. But then I went for dinner with him in New York about 2-3 months ago,
right,
with a friend of ours. And yeah.
Did he bring the same CD?
Yeah, he gave it back to me. And said, "I don't want that shit. That tune's garbage, son." yeah, I don't know if I'm allowed to say, but fuck it. I did a joint on his new album, which is probably going to come out at some point in the next 20 years, so I don't know. But yeah, it's very exciting to me.
Yeah, you know? It is exciting. It's also exciting to me that Martin finally timed one of his sound effects correctly.
I'm excited about it. I can't wait to hear the song.
Yeah, and the other thing I wanted to ask you before we go to the interval is... High Focus.
Yeah, man.
So UK hip hop was like, it wasn't what it is now. I mean, like it was almost gone. It felt like, do you know what I mean? Like, and High Focus and other labels, but it feels like High Focus at the forefront of it have just blown up.
It hadn't gone away.
Yeah.
But I think it wasn't quite as celebrated as it once was.
Yeah.
From the days of like Low Life Records and nights like Beer and Rap down here and people like Cashmere and Verb T and stuff like that from Verb T, but he wasn't with High Focus. But it definitely feels like there's like a real little renaissance and it's come to the forefront again.
And why do you think that do you think that's just because they've kept on putting out quality stuff? Is it a particular reason?
I just think good branding, quality of music, and just a good attitude has helped them, really. You know, I think UK hip hop's been a funny one for a lot of people, and
yeah,
promotion's not always the best. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, they had really good branding and really quality music. Do you know what I mean? And good rappers.
Yeah.
So.
And finally, by the way, thank you. Best guest we've ever had.
Right out there. 100%.
Great.
Hi. I'm not going to take that compliment because I've listened to every single one of your podcasts and I know you fucking say that to everyone.
It's a new thing.
Yeah.
It's a new thing.
We didn't say it to Tom Davis, did we? He was shit.
No.
Yeah.
No, but thank you so much for having me on, man.
Like, no, listen, mate.
I was actually really gassed because I love the podcast.
Oh, thanks, man. Well, thank you for coming on. It was... the applause for the podcast was so much more muted than the applause for Rory. It just fuck you. No, I'm joking. So is there anything you want to tell us to look out for coming up? Or are you just working on stuff?
I want people to listen to the music of my friends and stuff. So
yeah.
Gizmo's got a new album out. And Caesar's got some new stuff on the way. And then... Backstar did a tune on his album. You mentioned it. It's a little bit old, but you should listen to it if you haven't already. Dirty Dyke's new album, Acrylic Snail, is killer.
That album's fucking great, isn't it?
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so good.
He's come a little bit different on it.
Yeah,
I really respect him for thinking outside the box and that. Have you seen his live shows?
We did. I saw a little bit because he came and did one of the Hip Hop Save My Life's lives, yeah. And then he did a bit after. But I've not been. I've heard it goes.
Had a caravan on stage. That you have to walk through the caravan to get onto stage.
Really?
Which is pretty fucking cool. Yeah.
Okay, so could you please give it up for the fantastic Rag & Bone Man?
Thank you very much.
Give it up for Roomage. Thank you so much.